Dave DeCock, good morning and welcome.
Oh, good morning, Sandy.
It's great to see you.
Yes, it is. I don't think I've done much for the weather in the last week, though.
No. Well, you know, think about it. Last year at this time, we were probably under a lot of snow.
Right.
There was no sign of spring. I mean, at least we've seen some grass.
But then again, 2 years ago, everything was great, flowering and...
Well, that's true, but that, you know, that's the History Channel, Dave.
Yeah, right.
We have to move on.
But last year
we
was,
have
too,
to get so. A grip. So let's talk planting and gardening, shall we?
Sounds good. There's always a lot to talk about in the spring.
Our phone lines are open. Is it too early to start anything in the basement?
Tomatoes? Things could be started. Usually tomatoes and things, we try and wait till about the middle of April to do that. And the big thing with tomatoes is if you start them indoors, you need really good light. And you want to get them going, and you don't want them to reach a point where they stop growing. So you don't want to start them too early, because pruning them back and stuff is not a good idea. So usually about the middle of April with tomatoes and peppers.
Well, what is really good light?
Well, if you can buy, plant lights that you can use, but they're expensive. So if you take a light fixture and with two bulbs, you put one soft white and one cool white bulb in, you get fairly close to the outdoor light. So that's a good, cheap way of doing it. Use a timer or something on the light, so the light can probably be on 14, 16 hours a day. Get the plants down, you know, within 6 inches of the light, and then you'll be okay.
And are you set up so you can raise or lower the lights or
definitely,
the plants?
Definitely. It's a lot easier if you do that, because then as the plants grow, you can just keep raising the lights up.
We have this in from our text stream at 35270. Dave, recommended raspberry varieties and care.
Well, you're going to want to try and grow. You have a lot better luck here with June-bearing raspberries. And those basically are raspberries that will have one large crop each year in the fall of the year. Then you cut the stalks back, the old stalks that had the fruit, you cut them back. The new ones that came up during that year would be the ones that have the fruit next year. Boyne is one that I've grown in the past, had good luck. There may be some new varieties out there, but Boyne is one. It's from Canada. It's plenty hardy enough for here, and I've had good luck with it.
Is that like B-O-Y-N-E or
right.
something
B-O-Y-N-E.
Like that?
Right, B-O-Y-N-E.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Dave, good morning. Good morning, Dave. You're on with KFGO.
Morning, Dave.
Morning. How you doing?
Good.
I've got a different kind of question for you.
Sure.
Last year, I built a planter. It's a stand. I call it a stand-up planter.
Okay.
It's about 4 feet long and about 2 feet wide and about a foot and a half deep.
Right.
And we grew tomatoes in it, and they did wonderful.
Right.
I built another planter this year to grow tomatoes in, because I don't want to grow them 2 years in a row in the same planter.
Well, what you could have done is just taken the top 6-8 inches of dirt out, and you'd be okay, and you could use the same one. The big thing is the upper few inches of dirt is where the problem would be. So if you skinned off the top half of the dirt in the old planter, I think you'd be okay. If you wanted and you're really concerned, you could take all the dirt out of the old planter and then wash the inside out with some type of water Hylex mixture to make sure you kill all the bacteria, whatever that might be there. But
okay.
You can certainly use them again.
Right. What I'm getting at, though, is what would you recommend for rotation in the planter that had tomatoes last year?
Oh, I think almost anything else would work, because with tomatoes, the big thing is you don't want anything that's in the same family, like tomatoes, peppers. You don't want to do that kind of thing. Well, I'm not even sure. No, peppers aren't even the same family. So you wouldn't want to put something of the same family, but flowers, beans, peas, onions, carrots, anything like that would be fine. I think as long as you stay away from tomatoes, the big problem we have with tomatoes are the bacterial blight and the normal tomato leaf blight. So, and they wouldn't be a problem on other plants.
And how soon do you think you could plant tomatoes again in that soil that you have rotated out with peppers,
well,
for instance?
If you've taken the soil at least half the depth of the soil out, I don't think there's a problem using them every year as long as you keep doing that.
Okay.
Plant Talk is brought to you by Crocious Landscaping, Garden and Nursery Center, Paul Bunyan Nursery, and Baker Garden and Gift. And Dave, we have a text message about little evergreens.
Sure.
J&S, I have some little evergreens that got winter burn about halfway down from the top. Will they come out if you touch them? The needles fall off. And it's nice to hear your voice on Plant Talk again.
Well, it's great to be back on Plant Talk. The reason the top half is burnt is because the bottom half was covered with snow. And if you want to prevent them from burning whatsoever, and they're small, you just take and blow snow on so you cover the whole plant, and then they won't burn. usually what will happen, even if the needles fall off, usually the buds are a little more hardy and have a little more ability to come back. So my guess would be is the buds that are there from last year will send out new growth. So I think you'll be okay.
Let's take another question here. Is it a good time to prune fruit trees?
Oh, great time. Great time. You want to prune fruit trees, apple trees, especially pears, plums. You want to get those after the danger of the severely cold weather has passed. And I think we went there, but before they get leafed out. So now is a great time. Once this snow melts away a little bit, get out and get them clipped.
What if you're a first timer in a house with a pear tree or a plum tree or an apple tree in the backyard? What do you prune?
Well, it depends on how old the tree is. If the tree is fairly young, then you just want to go in and develop the structure of the tree. If you've got 3 liters, a lot of times you see these trees you plant, they've got 3 liters going up. Well, first off, you want to get back so you've only got one. You also look for branches. If the branches are really close together, you want to get the branches rotating around the tree as much as you can. You don't want them all on one side. You want to take the branches that are close to, they should be at least a 45 to 70 degree angle off of the main trunk, and those branches are stronger. If the branch is very narrow with the main trunk, then it's a lot more likely to break once it gets some weight on it. More mature trees, basically you want to go in and thin out. You don't want the branches rubbing on each other. Any branches or twigs or new growth that goes straight up, you cut that off. Anything that's going down, you cut that off. So it depends on the age of the tree. But the other thing, if you have that, you could probably call Todd down at Cass County Extension. He's probably got something he can send out to you on how to do it.
You're pretty authoritative on pruning. You've done some pruning of late, haven't
you?
Well,
I have some apple trees.
Uh-huh. All right.
And they're already pruned, so.
Plant Talk is brought to you by Crocius Landscaping Nursery and Garden Center, by Paul Bunyan Nursery, and Baker Garden and Gift.
Well, Dave, while we wait for calls or texts, let's check the text, see if we've had one since the last time I checked. Aha. Oh, Dave, is it a good time to shape potentilla and spirea bushes? If not, when can we trim them up?
Yes, the spring would be ideal for the potentillas. You could probably do them in the fall as well, but the spring of the year, I usually try and shear them back. You take, it depends how big they are, but you can reduce the size if they're oversized. Otherwise, you can take all the old flower stalks and things off from last year, kind of develop into a globe shape. Spireas, usually I try and prune them just after they're finished flowering. Then they tend to look pretty good from then on. But you can also get them right away in the spring and shape them up if they're looking a little ratty. But you could do either one of them right now.
Another text on raised gardens. What should plant spacing be?
It's going to depend. A lot of times with raised gardenings, you want to get stuff fairly close together. Thing with raised gardening, you have to be concerned about how are you going to water it? How are you going to keep enough moisture in there and fertilizer in there? Because if you do water a raised bed, everything tends to run out. So you're going to have to water fairly often, fertilize fairly often. But a lot of times people want to plant the stuff fairly close so that they get more bang for their buck, so to speak. But you do need, with tomato plants and things, you do need to have enough room so that you get some air movement. Otherwise, blight can be a big problem.
Gabriel, you're on KFGO with Dave DiCocco. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Gabriel.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
I've got a honey crisp apple tree, and it never lost its leaves.
Okay.
I'm wondering what's the story with that.
Well, sometimes that will happen, especially if in the fall of the year, trees in the fall of the year, if it stays fairly warm and then all at once it gets real cold, sometimes the leaves will hang on through the winter. Do the branches and twigs look good yet? Are they still nice and pliable? And
Yes.
Yeah, then don't worry about it. The leaves will fall off this spring of the year. But I've seen flowering crabs, too. Some years they will just hang the leaves on through the winter, and then the spring, of course, they fall off. So I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Thank you, Gabriel. Appreciate the call. How about you, Noreen? How can Dave DeCock help you on KFGO?
Hi, Noreen.
Hi, I got kind of a silly little question, I guess, but I bought some of those little hockey puck things that you plant in.
Right. Know, yep.
But I don't know how to use them. Do you soak them first in water?
I think you soak them first in water. So what happens is they're a peat thing and they're all squished down and you soak them in water and, of course, then they get back to their normal size. And then once they've done that, then you just go ahead and there should be a little indentation in the top where you can put the seed in. And a lot of times they're used for starting things like cucumbers, muskmelons, watermelons, that kind of thing. And the advantage of them is you can just go ahead and plant the whole thing and everything into the ground when you're ready to plant out.
790 KFTO, 1136 Plant Talk Day. Dave Decock is here. Plant Talk is sponsored by Crocious Landscaping, Nursery and Garden Center by Paul Bunyan Nursery, and by Baker Garden and Gift. We have open phone lines at 237-5948, 800-880-5346. You can text us at JNS at 35270, and you can email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com.
All right, Dave, let's test that mic, see if it still works. Hi,
Sounds
Dave.
Weird. We're here.
Look at you. Our email gets one so far. Bob wants to know, when can we uncover roses, and might I ask other perennials too?
Oh, I don't think there'd be any problem doing it right now. If you got uncovered bags of leaves and stuff, it's a great time to get them off. The snow and the cold we have now isn't going to be a problem because they haven't started to grow yet. One other thing I might add that I should have mentioned before is if you have ornamental grasses and we leave them up through the winter because they're nice and they blow in the wind and everything, but you want to get the ornamental grasses cut back in the spring before they start to grow. Because if they once start to grow and get green up in that brown, then if you do cut them back, you're going to cut the green off as well. So if you have ornamental grasses, now is the time to get those back too.
Cut them back where? Right to the ground?
Right to the ground.
Okay.
Right to the ground.
We have a lot of text messages, Dave. Let's get to it. Hi, Dave. I have two large planters and want to add some flowers that will look good all summer that can either handle all day sun or very little. Any suggestions?
Well, you're going to want to use annuals, of course, and the full sun is pretty easy because there you can use your geraniums, you can use the marigolds, you can use zinnias, you could use petunias. Now, in the shade, that's a little more difficult because there you're down to impatiens, begonias, coleus, that kind of thing. So shady areas, it's a lot more difficult to get plants that are going to stay flowering all summer. But sunny areas, most of the annual flowers would do good in the sunny areas.
We have a couple of callers coming in. We'll get to them in just a moment. Let's do another text at 35270. Dave, I need to transplant a growing croton.
Okay, this would be an ideal time. If you've got house plants, you want to transplant them, it's a great time of the year to do it. The day length is getting longer, the sun's getting stronger, so it's a great time to do it. Thing with the croton, if it's really pot-bound, you want to move it to a pot, you want to only go a couple inches bigger in diameter, and when you do take it out of the old pot, make sure you rough up around the ball. Because a lot of times what will happen if the plant's pot-bound, the roots will start to grow around the edge of the pot. So you want to loosen that all up and get in a new pot, then use some new soil. But now would be a great time to do it.
Cornelius, you're on with Dave Decock on KFGO.
Hi, Cornelius.
Yes, good morning. In relationship to lawn more than garden, but now that the snow is gone, we see all of these trails of voles under the grass.
Sure. Yeah.
What can we do in the fall to prevent that?
I don't know if there's anything. People have tried a lot of things. Some people claim if you put a layer of fertilizer on real late, that'll keep them off. Other people cut their lawns short in hopes that will keep them off. I'm not sure anything like that really does any good. The good thing about vole damage is it's a mess in the spring of the year, but it doesn't kill the grass. So in the spring of the year, once it dries, just go out with a rake, get all that raked up, get rid of it. The grass will come back from the roots, and you know, within a month, you're not even going to know where the vole damage was.
Hi, Neil. You're on KFGO with Dave Decock. Go ahead.
Hi, Neil.
Yes. Dave, I got an apple tree to trim. Can I do that now?
Right now is a great time. Yeah, right now is great.
All right. Good, Neil. Get out at it. How about you, April? Dave Decock is with you on KFGO.
Hi, April.
Hi. I was just wondering, is it possible to transplant wild asparagus?
It is, but I'm not sure that, you know, if you were going to do it, I'd want to do it in the spring of the year, just as soon as it's dry enough so you can dig it and move it. And then you just don't harvest it for a couple of years. It'd be a lot like, planting the normal, varieties that we would grow, the cultivated varieties. But I think with cultivated varieties, you're going to tend to get a lot bigger stalks, a lot bigger spears. It's a lot more vigorous. So I guess rather than transplant the wild stuff, I'd probably just harvest the wild stuff where it is and then buy some of the new varieties and put those in your garden and wait for them to get ready to harvest.
You know, I've planted asparagus and was unsuccessful all
right.
In all. There are tricks to how you spread if you're doing a transplant. Have to be spread in a certain way.
The problem here is that asparagus really doesn't like the heavy soil. It really doesn't like the cold wetness of the soil in the spring. And that's the reason it's difficult to grow asparagus here.
This is Plant Talk on KFGO. Thank goodness we have Plant Talk and Dave Decock on KFGO.
Okay.
Okay. What's your second question?
I have a peace plant that I've had about a year and a half.
Right. Peace lily.
It's in the original container.
Mm-hmm.
And it's drooping.
Okay.
You know, some. What can I do?
Now, when you water it, does it perk back up then or not?
Well, the last time it did not. Sometimes it does a little bit, but it never is nice, tall.
Okay.
Spikes.
Okay. Okay. Peace lilies are hard to grow to start with, so that could be a problem. If it's wilted and you leave it dry out and you water it and it doesn't perk back up, that's not a very good sign. That's a sign that there may be some root rot or something involved. So, and it's very difficult to do anything about that once it gets into the root. So I would guess the prognosis on it is not good if it doesn't perk up when you water it.
Thanks, Irene. Good luck, Doug, on it. And Maureen, there you are, Maureen. You're on with Dave DeCock here at KFGO.
Yes, I missed a little of the program, so I don't know if somebody asked these questions, but it has to do with cutting back. And I know you talked about other things, but I have Russian sage and then also my shrub roses.
Okay.
Died off without, I mean, they didn't die off, but they've got a lot of dead roses and rosebuds on them.
Right, right. Russian sage. Usually I cut the Russian sage back pretty much in the fall of the year, but you can certainly do it as soon as you can get out and do it. The shrub roses, you can cut those part way back. You don't need to cut them all the way back. Usually I'll cut mine maybe halfway back and then let them leaf out and go from there. But you want to get all the old flower buds and all the old remnants of flowers and things from last year out of there. But cut it part way back. But the Russian sage, you can go all the way to the ground on that.
Let's get a couple of text messages in here at 35270. This person's wondering when it's a good time to transplant a dwarf lilac tree. They planted it too close to the house, and they're worried that the roots will grow into the foundation.
Well, you're gonna want to do it as early in the spring as you can, but you're going to want the soil dry enough so it isn't going to be a big mud ball when you do it. But you want to try and get it before it gets leafed out if you can.
Another good text question here at 35270. Any tree programs in Fargo for the Boulevard? I need trees. What's my best option?
Well, I think what you're going to have to do there is, first off, you're going to want to check with the city forester and find out what varieties and what particular trees are for your particular area, because they do suggest planting certain trees in certain areas of the city so that we don't overplant any particular variety. And when you do sign up with them or call them, you can find out if there are any programs providing trees in the city. I don't know that there is anything available. I know that in shelter belts and things out in the country, there's the Soil Conservation District provides trees for them. But in town, I don't know that there's anything, but city forester would know.
Okay, we have a line of callers a mile long. Hi, Wendy. You're on Plant Talk with Dave DeCock.
Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, hi, Dave. This is Wendy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a wisteria growing on an arbor.
Sure.
And, the rabbits usually prune one of them
right
for me. There's two of them, you know, one
right
on each side of the arbor.
Right.
How short do you prune that back? Because it's growing. It's like 10 years old almost. But it's never flowered, but it vines out really nice.
Right. I would say what I would do with it if it was mine, unless it's just too big and you want to get rid of some of it, but if you want it to get bigger, I would wait in the spring and let it leaf out, and then whatever's dead, cut it off, or anything that's ratty or, you know, is where it shouldn't be, cut it off. That way you're going to get more, and, you know, it's going to get larger. But if that's what I would do, unless it's too big and you want to cut it back, then of course you could go ahead and do that now. But otherwise, I'd wait, let it start leafing out and see what's dead and cut that off and leave the rest go.
We have Bob standing by. Hang in there, Bob. Another question, though. Will spring bulbs be damaged by the snow and the extreme cold temps and repeated snow and cold temps?
Well, usually what happens with them, the worst I've ever seen is if it gets really cold and the leaves are up, it'll freeze the leaves off. They'll turn black, but it's still going to come up and flower and you'll get new leaves. So it's not going to kill them.
And snow and cold.
Right. It's not going to kill them. The snow really isn't that big a problem, because I've seen apple trees flowering and have snow in them and they're still okay. So
snow.
It's the real, real cold temperatures that's the problem.
Cold.
Yeah, I know.
So sorry. Bob, sorry about that. You're on with Dave DeCock on KFGO.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Cold enough for you, Bob?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, okay. Just hang around. It'll get colder.
Hey, I got a rubber plant about 5 years old.
Sure.
And it's starting to grow out over the sides more than it is up. Do I cut those back or do I stake it?
You can cut those back, but it's the thing that tends to happen with rubber trees. They'll tend to get leggy. If they had a lot of, you know, if they were in really, really good sun, then they wouldn't be as likely to do that. But in sun that's less than ideal, they will tend to extend more than the plant can actually handle, and then they start to sag and the branches will grow out and they'll droop.
Right.
You can shorten those in. If you do shorten them in, cut to just a touch further out than where there's a leaf, and then if new growth comes, it will come from that point.
But okay, you can stake it in the middle to help it grow up?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no problem with staking it. That's the problem. Like I say, if there's not intense sun, they're going to get leggy, and then, of course, they're going to be weak structured. So you'll probably have to stake it.
All right. Thank you.
Plant Talk Day on KFGO, brought to you by Crocius Landscaping Nursery and Garden Center, Paul Bunyan Nursery, and we'd like to thank Baker Garden and Gift as well.
I want to thank somebody for writing this question in. I wouldn't have thought to ask it. Dave Decock, what do you recommend as far as seed varieties to buy? When you go to the grocery store or to the nursery or wherever you go and you see the seed packages, what do you think?
Well, the best thing to do is if you're in North Dakota, Minnesota, most of the county extension office, they have a vegetable variety list, and some of them even have flower variety lists. So that's what I would do. I would go, if you're looking for seed, I'd get to the extension service, extension office, see if you can get a hold of a list of varieties that's recommended for this area. Typically, what happens is when you go in stores and buy seeds, you'll find these cheap packages of seeds, and usually those are old varieties that are probably not as good as some of the newer varieties, and usually that's why they're cheap. So it's like anything else, you buy cheap, that tend to be what you get.
And actually, if you go to a local nursery like Baker Garden and Gift or Crocius Landscaping Nursery and Garden Center, or go over to Paul Bunyan Nursery, they know what grows, and you can get advice from them too.
For sure.
Did you guys talk about cutting grass and fertilizing it?
No.
Okay.
No.
A text. What is the proper way to take care of lawn, cut grass in early spring, and when to fertilize?
Well, usually what happens is in the spring of the year, the first thing you want to do is, of course, you want to get out there with a leaf rake and get it all cleaned up. And if you're going to power rake, you power rake after the grass is drying up so you can walk around out without getting your stocking feet wet. As far as cutting the grass, you wait until, of course, it gets tall enough to cut, usually 2-2.5 inches. As far as fertilizing, most people jump the gun and fertilize early in the spring as you can. You really don't need to fertilize until probably the middle of May, because grass is going to do good in the spring whether you fertilize or not.
Did you guys cover the dwarf lilac tree?
Yes.
We moved in, yes, we did.
Okay.
We moved
here, here's one. My asparagus produces less each year. The plants are 10 years old. How can I increase the yield?
Well, what I would say, I'd do some fertilizing, because asparagus tends to be vegetative type plant. The more vegetative growth you stimulate with asparagus, the larger the spears are going to be, the more spears you're going to get. And it may be that it's getting a little bit root-bound too, but I would say fertilizing with a good fertilizer would certainly help a lot.
Another text here at 35270. Wasps have devoured the apples off my tree the last 2 years. They've never been there before. How do I keep them off my trees?
What you could probably do is get some wasp traps and put them out. There's a lot of, you can make homemade traps. You can buy traps and you put a sugar solution in, or some people will put orange pop in. And there's a lot of things you can put in these traps to attract the wasp, and they will go to those. And that's really the only way you can do that. I have the same problem with my apples. It's either the squirrels or the wasp that get after them.
Hey, Joe, you're on KFGO. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never raised sweet potatoes, and I was thinking about it, and I'll just ask a couple questions. I'll hang up. You can answer
if
not.
Okay.
Is that a crop that you want to put in like a mound or a hill like you do potatoes? And then,
how
does that work?
The thing with sweet potatoes is I've tried them in the past, and they like a lot of heat, a lot of sun, and they need a long growing season. So if you want to start sweet potatoes, you certainly want to start them in something, in pots or something inside. Move them out in the spring. Not necessarily do they need a hill like another potato, but as they continue to grow, you mound them up a little bit so the potatoes stay covered with soil like we do with the outdoor potatoes. But it's very difficult to get a successful crop here because our season just isn't long enough.
Thank you, Dave. We'll see you next Thursday.
Sounds great. I'll be here.
If you didn't get through, you live in Cass County, call 241-5707. Clay County, call 299-7225. And that's Plant Talk on KFGO.